Colorado, Crestone. One afternoon in August, I received the email I had been waiting for. Caitlin, Laura, a very dear member of our community, was found dead early this morning. She had a history of heart problems and had just entered her 75th year. Don't know where you are, but you're welcome to join us. Stephanie. Laura's death was unexpected. On Sunday night, she danced with abandon at a local music festival. On Monday morning, she lay dead on her kitchen floor. On Thursday morning, her family would gather to cremate her, and I would be there. The cremation was scheduled to start promptly at 7 a.m., just as the sun broke through the blue light of dawn. The mourners began to stream in after 6:30. A truck pulled up, driven by Laura's son, bearing her body wrapped in a coral-colored shroud. There had been a rumor that her horse, Bebe, would be making an appearance, but at the last minute, the family decided the crowd and the fire would be too much for Bebe's constitution. The announcement came that the horse was, regretfully, unable to attend. Laura's family pulled her body from the pickup and carried her on a cloth stretcher through the field of black-eyed Susans, up the slight incline toward the pyre. A gong rang through the air. As I walked from the parking area up the sandy path, a beaming volunteer handed me a freshly cut bough of juniper. Laura was laid out on a metal grate atop two parallel slabs of smooth white concrete under the expansive dome of Colorado sky. I had come to visit the empty pyre twice before, but its purpose became more sober and clear with the presence of a body. One by one, mourners stepped forward to lay a juniper bough on Laura's body. As the only person present who hadn't known her, I hesitated to deposit my juniper, call it funereal awkwardness. But I couldn't very well hang on to my bough, too obvious, or stuff it in my backpack, tacky, so I walked forward and rested it on the shroud. Laura's family, including a young boy of 8 or 9, circled her pyre, stacking pinyon pine and spruce logs, selected because they burned with heightened intensity. Laura's partner and her adult son waited at the corners with lit torches. A signal was given, and they came together to set Laura aflame, just as the sun peered above the horizon. As her body caught fire, white smoke swirled about in tiny cyclones, twisting upward and disappearing into the morning sky. The smell called to mind a passage from Edward Abbey. The fire. The odor of burning juniper is the sweetest fragrance on the face of the earth, in my honest judgment. I doubt if all the smoking censers of Dante's Paradise could equal it. One breath of juniper smoke, like the perfume of sagebrush after rain, evokes in magical catalysis, like certain music, the space and light and clarity and piercing strangeness of the American West. Long may it burn. After a few minutes, the whirlwinds dispersed, and glowing red flames danced in their place. The fire gathered strength, shooting up 6 feet high. The mourners, all 130 of them, ringed the pyre in silence. The only sound was the pop of flaming wood, as if, one by one, Laura's memories were diffusing into the ether. Cremation, in the form they practice it in the tiny town of Crestone, Colorado, has been around for tens of thousands of years. The ancient Greeks, Romans, and Hindus were most famous for employing the modest alchemy of fire to consume the flesh and liberate the soul. But cremation itself goes back even further. In the late 1960s, in the remote Australian outback, a young geologist discovered the cremated bones of an adult woman. He estimated the bones might be up to 20,000 years old. In fact, further study revealed that they were 42,000 years old, antedating the supposed arrival of the Aboriginal people in Australia by some 22,000 years. The woman would have lived in a verdant landscape filled with giant creatures, kangaroos, wombats, other rodents of unusual